Music with Sparkle here on Glitterbeam Radio, and finally, I can't help it. I need to say, come on, y'all, live free, cause Eureka is here. Eureka.
Hi, everybody. It's Eureka O'Hara here. You know me from Drag Race, and I'm so excited to be here on Glitterbeam. I'm so excited to see y'all. How are you, Michael?
I'm very well, thank you.
who else am I talking with? What's this other one?
don't worry, because you're not gonna be able to say my name. It's Eugenio. Just call me John. It's fine. Just call me whatever you want.
How about I just call you Papa, honey? How about Papa?
That's fine. Eureka, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm over here at the house in Los Angeles, quarantined up in LA, doing as much work as I can on my computer. How are you all?
I'm not too bad. I'm pottering on, let's say. I'm currently working from home and obviously in lockdown as well. So I'm doing a lot of baking, a lot of cooking.
What are you baking? I'm hungry.
Oh my God, what haven't I baked? Jesus.
I've done really? All sorts.
Yeah. I made some really, really good cookies the other day, actually. Yeah.
Were they weed cookies?
No.
But she's a classy one, y'all. She's classy.
Oh, yes.
For now.
So Eureka, you're from Johnson City in Tennessee.
Uh-huh.
So how's the drag scene over there? What's it like?
The drag scene there is very, like, pageant related. It's just a very much glamour drag, step up the ladder, like do pageantry to like get your place type drag. So it's very traditional drag, I guess you could say, as far as like traditional American drag. You know, very much like the houses, and like you have your drag mothers, and like there's like a handful of like main drag mothers, almost like our little version of our New York ballroom scene, but don't nobody do ballroom dancing and maybe the kind where you're standing up, honey, in ballroom dresses, but not like, you know what I mean? So it's different and it's interesting, but it's very much family vibed, high end, high glamour.
Sounds interesting.
Kind of old school. Huh?
It sounds good. It sounds very interesting.
Oh yeah, I love where I'm from, and I love the people that I got to learn drag from. Like, my drag mother is like the one to me, you know what I mean? Her name's Jacqueline St. James. The amazing Amazon, that's her tag. She's pretty incredible. She's a trans woman too, so like, you know, I was just like raised by someone who like really knew how to navigate the community, I guess, and like how to survive in a small town being so different.
Mm-hmm.
So wow.
Nice. Sorry, Mike, go. Oh, I was going to say, so do you think that your appearance on TV, because now that you're in the public eye, of course, do you think that from, you know, way back when, before you were in the public, you know, when people in the public eye, to now, do you think the scene has changed at all?
In Tennessee, absolutely. I mean, I think that, you know, me making it to Hollywood and all that kind of helped change it too. Like, it just helped progress, like, the image of drag and like the image of like the community. I think it made them feel like they could be bigger city folk too. It's interesting because the energy definitely changed a lot in my hometown, like from before to now. And I think they're just like more excited about life, weirdly. Like they feel like they have a chance too now, you know, it's just hopeful.
That's amazing that you're actually giving that to the guys back home from where you're from. That's nice, all that hope and that promise.
I think there's some of them that are probably like, God, I hate her even more now that she made it on TV.
there is always this kind of effect. But I'm very curious also about your name, because your name, Eureka, is coming from a phonetic similarity with your mother's given name, which is Ulrike. So,
yeah.
Tell us about how we've been talking about the scene where you've been, you know, you started. So, how your drag career started, and how the relationship with your mother was into this, into the start of your career, because she was she was a support. She was very, very supportive. She is very supportive.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, the motive behind me using my mom's name was just like, I was raised by her and I was named after my dad originally and I hated him. So it was like, how can I like get as far away from this given name that I was given and honor my mom? Because like, if I was going to try to be any type of female character or anything, it was going to be modeled after my mom because she was like perfect in my eyes, you know? So it was just very that, like, you know, I wanted the female persona to be modeled after her, so it was only like fitting to be named after her, you know.
Do you remember do you remember your like your first gig, your first show?
Yeah, I remember my first show. It was a talent show and I was so nervous I carried my purse on stage, bitch. And then like I was like standing in the center of the stage, like terrified and like afraid to move. I was barely lip syncing. And the crowd just cheered me on anyway. And I remember like thinking then, I was like, wow, they really love me. And then I saw a video and was like, wow, they really felt sorry for you. But,
I'm sure that's not the case.
But in reality though, it was just like the support and love that I got in that moment that like made me fall in love with drag.
Oh, amazing, amazing. Did you go on purse first by any chance?
I went on purse last, girl.
Except the personality came first, right?
Apparently nothing came first, girl. I was out there scared to death. It was something else. Was saying definitely a whole nother person then.
Well, everybody's life's a journey. Look where you started and look what you're doing now. It's incredible the distances people go.
It's weird, yeah. It's insane to think about sometimes.
So obviously you appeared in a Drag Race or season 9 first, which unfortunately ended very early because of your knee accident. You know, I was watching that, and when you went down, I was like, oh no, don't you feel something through the TV when you're watching it? And I was just like, that looked so painful.
But then you had awful.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, but then you had an amazing run in season 10, right, you know, the grand finale. Yeah. So you carried through, you know, the whole show with your strong personality and all the performances that you gave. So, you know, what has the whole experience left you with? I mean, what did you take from it?
I mean, honestly, a career, you know what I mean? That's like the main thing I think I could like honestly say I've taken from it. But also just like knowledge of the industry. You know, it's through being on TV, you're like given a pair of glasses and like a magnifying glass on yourself that you otherwise would never have, honestly. And it's a great tool to learn about yourself, really. I mean, I don't think that I would be the person that I am today or like know as much about myself today if I hadn't went through these experiences. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it just like it taught me to really love myself because, you know, like when you're famous or like when you get this kind of attention, it's easy to get like it's easy to set yourself up for failure in this idea because you get all this attention, you have like predetermined hopes and dreams and like ideas of how things are going to go down, and then, you know, a lot of times it doesn't go down the way you expect, or you know, your journey's like to learn a little bit more about yourself, I guess. You know, I don't know, I just feel like it's been an interesting journey for me, but I've just learned who I am through it. I mean, that's what I've taken away. Just, I don't know if I would know who I am to the extent that I do now without it.
But amazing. It's amazing that one of the things that really it was coming out of the TV was how natural you were, even in the challenges, apart from, well, the Snatch Game, where I was dying in laugh because of the character, but also some of the moments I will never forget. I rewatch just the episode of the library and the reading challenge to see you reading Cameron Michaels, which is one of the best jokes ever. Ever.
I wasn't kidding. I was not kidding. I don't understand. I don't know where the world thought I was joking, but saying my libido was so active. I was like, Cameron, I know you're my best friend. Take one for the team.
Oh, it's amazing. Yeah, well, I suppose. Of course, there are different types of queens. The fishy queen, I mean, you know, you've been in Drag Race, you know that? There are pageant queens. So through your career, you have always brought with you an extremely positive vibe, a positive personality, body positivity, smile, fun. So why have you chosen this particular path of this of your career for your drag persona, your drag career? Is it because you're naturally like that, or because you just want it to be like that?
I think I've become naturally a happy character or a happy person, but I think it first became that because I've always just had a talent of making other people feel better because I was going through so much. You know, I just went through a lot of dark things growing up, so I learned how to like mask it with this like positive personality that was like really outgoing and like doing everything in school and college and like a part of everything. And you know, that's how I coped, you know what I mean? And then for a long time it wasn't, you know, it was just kind of a character itself, being this like positive, like happy-go-lucky person. But then like through drag, honestly, over time it became realistically who I am, and that's just because ultimately that's who I wanted to be. I think is I grew up always just wanting to be happy. And, you know, strangely enough, like being an adult and especially drag and stuff is kind of the reason that I truly found happiness. You know what I'm saying? So it's like what might have been an act at one point slowly became reality through drag.
That's great, because we've heard that from a few queens, haven't we, where they've said that, you know, when they first started their career, there was themselves and their drag persona. And then over the course of time, they just sort of merged into this one gigantic monster of, you know, that if both of you is together.
That's so weird, because now I feel like I'm the other way around, strangely really? Enough. Like now that I've like found out who I am as a person, sometimes there is a big difference between who I am out of drag and who I am in drag. Who I am in drag is definitely a little louder, a little more outgoing and abrasive. And the person that I am out of drag can be that person. But the person that I am out of drag actually is like the one that wants to sit and kiki and watch Netflix and chill and not really like go do things. But Eureka's the bitch that wants to be at the club at 10 p.m. honey, ready to twerk. You know what I'm saying? David's like, let's go about 1 or 2 right before they close and just like enjoy it at the end. And sit here and pre-party, you know?
Oh, that's really cool. That's really cool. But no, as I said, it's nice that you've had this revelation about yourself and you've been able to find yourself in a way because of your experience. It's great to hear. It's great to listen to. So like,
yeah, well, it's hard as hell to deal with inside this head, gal. So.
No, I can
I'm
imagine.
I'm kidding. I'm kidding. It's not that bad. It's just like, girl, shut up.
Which is also stuff. I mean, it's something that other queens in Drag Race wanted to tell you at some point, and you were coming back to them quite nicely. So well done for that. Because I've seen people trying to shut you up. But the beauty of Eureka is this one is the fact that I'm talking like a perfect Italian. So I am naturally loud, and you know, I'm a sort of Eureka with just hairy Eureka.
Oh, I love that. Yes. Sounds hot.
Yeah, well, yes, and bald. Because hair everywhere but on the top of the head. I'll leave it to you. It's better now.
So many details about your personal life there, Jenny. Oh,
God, gosh. I just said that I'm bald.
I'm obsessed.
So we touched a little bit, obviously, about the lockdown and things now. And obviously you said that you're currently in lockdown. So what are you doing now to cope? I mean, what's your day-to-day life currently looking like?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I just get up, I get myself together just because, like, I have to, like, get myself together like I'm going to work, I guess, kind of, or, like, at least going out for the day to help me mentally. I've been writing a lot. I'm, like, I'm doing a lot of, like, Zoom meetings and, you know, like, phone FaceTime stuff, press, things like that for the show. But also, like, I'm spending time on my home that I've never been here this long, to be honest. I've like always been traveling. So I'm like finally unpacking boxes that I didn't know were still packed up. You know what I mean? I'm like, I'm reading books that I've been wanting to read for a minute, but really haven't had the time. Like, I'm also taking advantage of this time. You know, I think that's what people should be doing.
No, definitely. I mean, from me personally, I have cleaned this house from top to bottom so many times. I mean, I've hoovered so often, I think the carpets are now threadbare.
Well,
even because
you just said that you bake a lot, and we all know how bloody messy you are when you cook. So yes, clearly you need to cook it. It's fine.
Yeah, but I make bloody good food though.
I just feel
that's
for
all
you.
I need, Mama.
Of course, you. We're gonna talk about the show in a minute, and also to try to tell HBO, please bring it to UK ASAP. But in the meanwhile, I want to touch your lovely web show called Big Girl Problem, which is a way for the fans to get to know you better. So. How did this idea came to life? How did you get this idea?
I honestly filmed that like 2 years ago, and I did it like just... I did it just to have something to do, like a project to be working on, because I was kind of in between things. This was like after season 10. It was like... you know, I don't know what was really going on. It was just like content to be creating. And it was kind of like, okay, so I need to come up with a web series. What am I going to do? I was like, just set me in front of something and I'll fucking run my mouth and see what happens. You know what I mean? And then like from doing that, it kind of came to like, you know what I like to talk about a lot? you know, and it's like people, it came a lot from like, people being like, oh, you call yourself big too much and you talk about it too much, blah, blah, blah. So I was like, well, I'm going to do a web series where that's all I talk about. You know what I mean? Like, fuck you. I'm a horrible person. Also, because it's like, people don't want to talk about what they're uncomfortable with. So it's like, let's make people uncomfortable or make them laugh about it. I mean, we'll see. You know what I mean?
See, that's one of the things about being British. We are very, like, sorry, me anyway, I'm very reserved with everything, you know. If there's a problem in my mind, I'll just keep it to myself and I'll bottle it up until I blow up, you know, like a proper British person.
Yeah, I love that.
Jenny, on the other hand, is completely different. If something says something to him and he blows up instantly with the hands and all the Italian comes out.
Not the hands, Mama. See me with the hands.
No, even because don't do the hand, the Italian hand, because it's not very good looking. Come on. Yes, but yeah, I'm a typical Italian also under that, but I cook very well, thank you very much, as a perfect there you go.
So Eureka, what's your relationship with your fans? Because obviously you're very active on social media and you've traveled around lots of different places doing lots of shows. How do you get on with your fans? How have you found them? Do they differ from
you know places? I feel like I know my fans and love them well enough where I can just tell them that they're all batshit fucking crazy. And that we're in this together because we're all batshit crazy. And you know what? These are some things that I do to deal with my batshit craziness. You know, that's kind of how I deal with my fans. Is I just try to relate and be honest with them. You know, I've never wanted to be a role model. I'm just lucky enough to be, I guess, and also unlucky enough to be, because sometimes it comes with some shit, you know? And it's like, I just, you know, I really just want to be myself. And like, this is the only thing I'm good at is like drag, and like TV and film is what I've always dreamed of being in. And, you know, my personality and what I do is like very this. So it's just like, I just feel honored, and I try to remind them that like, I appreciate that, they give a fuck enough to like help me continue doing the only thing that I know how to do. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I just try to be humble, I guess, enough to thank them as much as I can, you know, and just send them love, girl. I mean, without them, we're nothing.
Of course. No. But, it's one of those things where, isn't it, where you, like you said, if you get into the public eye and like you said, there's a sort of responsibility there, isn't it? It's sort of like it comes with a double-edged sword, really. Some of the fans can be like, yeah, support you and you're great and you're fantastic. Then you got the other ones that's like, nah, I didn't like that. I didn't quite like that. I don't like you do this. And they pick away and pick away. So I don't know if you do not experience that.
Do I?
Oh, hello.
Oh,
I done messed up the whole system. Oh God.
Oh, here we go. You back?
Never mind. I'm back. Sorry.
I think you're back.
I was gonna say.
I don't know what I was trying to be, girl.
Eureka! I was like, Eureka. Okay, good, good. So, did you hear the question, Eureka?
No, I got caught up in my own bullshit. Sorry.
That's fine.
So I was just saying, do you often see the opposite side of fans? You know, because they have that, you know, the good side and the bad side. You know, it's the bad bunch.
Oh, yes. Most of the Drag Race fans fucking hate my guts, and I love it. No.
Well, we're definitely not one of them.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of fans that don't like me, but that's because they're hardwired not to like people like me. You know what I'm saying? And all that does is give me a purpose. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, I'm not here to be everybody's fan, because the sad part is, like, even though as important it is to be fan, like, have fans, there's also an importance in being that person that people learn from and at least learn how to treat people from. Or, excuse me, Jeffrey still tastes like he did last night. coming back up. I can't get him to stay down. So I think really it helps my fans with my engagement because of how I can, like, navigate through it. And I think it's important for my fans because as a bigger person, one, you know, there's a lot of young fans, and it's like, it's almost like it's like an unwritten rule since, like, elementary school that, like, you pick on the fat kid, you know what I mean? And people don't know how to handle it when the fat kid picks back, you know? Yeah. So it's like, yeah.
No, I was saying, I think, whatever is, you know, the kind of messages that you got is still a testament of the fact that you are memorable, which I think is a very important thing. Because I've been watching, I am a very big fan of Drag Race. I probably watched every single series at least 4 times. Last time I started, with the lockdown, I started for the 5th. And despite this, every time I go to a new season and, you know, I review, like, any kind of season, and it is the first episode, there are 2 or 3 queens that enter the room, and I'm like, the fuck is that? Who that?
Yeah.
I look like Miss Venge. Who that? I can't remember this. Where she was from? Complete. So, the fact that you know, there is, of course, 90% of the people loves you and adores you. The odd idiot is always there. Who cares? As long as he talks.
Yeah, yeah. The silly people—they're crazy.
I know. Your present. Crazy people. Your present is still in TV on HBO now. We don't have HBO in UK. We know that there is an agreement, and I use right now for a private request the public radio station. There is an agreement with between HBO and Sky Atlantic in UK to bring in UK a couple of shows. If you guys can talk between you two, HBO and Sky Atlantic, you can actually bring here. We are here. Actually, we are here, which is the new show starring Eureka. Not just you. You go Bob the Drag Queen and Shangela with you. So tell us about the show, because we haven't seen it yet. I'm sure we will very soon. What we should expect?
Yeah, I mean, the show in general is actually really sweet and has a lot of love in it. I think people, like, expect it to be campy, I guess, and more than it is, kind of like Drag Race, but it's really just such a serious, moving show, honestly. It is a lot of fun, but there's just a lot of really beautiful stories that are incorporated from real people in our community that are being shared that people aren't used to getting to see. And it's just spurring a lot of conversation. And, you know, I think it's giving people a lot of hope during this time. So the fans and people are really reacting very positive to it, which I love, because it's just real stories. You know, it's not really about me, Bob, and Shangela. Me, Bob, and Shangela are going and, you know, kind of sprucing up and making things a little shiny and pretty and fabulous. But we're really just giving these small town people who are actually really huge personalities sometimes, or just very troubled, a spotlight to kind of be heard people that normally wouldn't be heard and their stories wouldn't normally be told. And I think that's what's making it so powerful, honestly, for people, is it's relatable, because it's like, holy shit, like, I feel this way, or I've been through this personally, you know? Because we all kind of, even when we come from a big city, you know, anyone that I've ever met, we all kind of feel at times in our lives like the outcast in a small town, you know?
Definitely.
So how did the show come about then? I mean, did you guys just get together and throw some ideas about, or?
No, Peter and John, or not Peter and Johnny, sorry, Steven and Johnny, the creators, they invited me to dinner and, you know, told me about it. I mean, they had came up with it on vacation, basically. Steven Warren's a really successful entertainment lawyer in Los Angeles. Johnny Ingram is also a really successful marketing guy. He's been in, you know, business marketing his whole life and advertising. So it was just like these two people that were so well-versed in the industry and connected decided to do something. And honey, they're powerful individuals and they just made it happen. You know, I remember having lunch with them and they were like, oh, this is what we want to do. And of course I was like, it sounds great. The idea of the show, like, I love the communities and like involving small town people and bringing drag there and like the message and the diversity that they had the dream of. And I was like, in theory, all of this is great, but we as queens are approached all the time by people to do projects like this. And a lot of times people can't really afford or don't have the patience to work with drag because it's expensive and it's also a lot of work, you know? So it takes an army and a network willing to pay for it. And when they said they were going to get HBO, I was like, sure, that sounds great. I'm sure you will. Okay, love y'all, bye, you know? And then a week later, they were like, okay, so we signed HBO. We're going to do this. Come meet the president of HBO non-scripted at our house this week. Bob's coming too, and so is Chandler. And I was like, okay, great, you know?
Bring it on.
And honestly, the vice president of non-scripted, Nina, she just fell in love with the idea, and she's huge fans of drag and of ours, and you know, it just, the right people said yes, I guess, and then they just created it. It was wild, and we got to be a part of it. And the best part is me, Bob, and Shangela have been very respectful on the project, because these people don't know how to work with drag, so they actually made us producers on the show. So me, Bob, and Shangela are also producers of the show to be able to like make sure that, you know, things are produced correctly and the stories are done in a way that's respectful to our culture. And, you know, it's just turned out to be really cool.
I love how you say that, you know, the drag queens are hard to work with and stuff like that, potentially, or that's the persona that some, that, you know, people, or that's the idea that people have. So they thought, oh, hey, we'll create a radio show and we'll get three of the biggest and outgoing queens around.
It's good because the HBO, as in Family Guy is described, the HBO is, we do TV better than the other with more money. That's it. And that's the perfect yes, it's how Family Guy described HBO, which we love because of, you know, all the amazing show that they have, Game of Thrones and stuff like that. But let's keep the attention on We're Here.
Yes. Okay. So,
Oh, I didn't have that. I had to say, okay, let's keep the attention on We're Here.
Let's keep the attention on We're Here.
We're all here. So in a recent post on your Instagram account, I'm going to quote you. You said, strangely, I started on the We're Here show thinking I was going to change people's lives. But what has happened, it has actually changed mine. I haven't been this clear on who I am ever in my life. So if this does come to the UK, and obviously when people watch this, are they going to see a part of you that they wouldn't have known before?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I believe they will. I mean, I think that, you know, Drag Race, I'm a very competitive person. And I like to win, you know, because I haven't in my life, I guess before I felt like I hadn't really won a lot. So I was very passionate about winning, you know. And in life now, through this experience, you know, I just realized doing this, I've already won. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't have to win RuPaul's Drag Race to be a winner. You know, I've gotten this opportunity and I've worked so hard and I've had other amazing opportunities, but not just that, but doing this show like reminded me of like why I do drag and kind of why I started drag. I mean, I started drag because I did want to be able to help people more than I realized, and I really wanted to be able to help myself. And now that like I'm at a place in my life where I really know who I am and what my abilities are. It's like, wow. And it really showed me that more than ever in the last year, you know, producing and putting together this show, because it's hard being a conduit for people's emotional instabilities and stabilities. It pulls a lot of your heartstrings out too, and it makes you have to process things yourself as well. So it really became a journey with these people versus like a journey for them. So, you know, the show definitely shows like the side of me that is just a caring person. Like, I take care of the people in my life with a lot of love. And, you know, that's what people are going to get to see from Eureka on this show. It's just more of that love for other people. It's not really about me, you know? And I think that that's going to be healthy for people that don't like me to see. But also just healthy in general for my fans to see too, like how to navigate like other people's feelings and work on them, even though you may be an emotional person yourself. You know what I mean? Like, it's not really just about us. We're all kind of going through the same shit in our own way.
Yeah. Oh, that's amazing. I mean, like I said, people who, you know, watch people on TV and listen to people on radio and things, it's like, you know, they like I said, they get this following, and something like this, like you said, is going to open up more of you. It's, you know, it's putting you into a vulnerable position. It's showing you for who you actually are outside of your character, you know, I suppose, outside of, you know, outside of who Eureka is. And I think people are really going to appreciate that, definitely, because we all see you as this, you know, massive, outgoing, bubbly person. And then all of a sudden now we have the caring side and the one who's concerned for the others and things. And yeah, I think it's going to be beneficial for everyone to see that.
Well, I hope so. I mean, I actually kind of know so more than hope anymore, because I'm just seeing how people are reacting to it. And, you know, one of the cutest things that I've gotten, and sometimes I don't know if I'm supposed to be offended or not, but I'm not offended. But my friends will, like, text me and be like, oh, my God, I love this show. I'm so glad people are getting to see the person that I know. And it's interesting to hear that, because, like, well, I thought they were. Well, all right, sis. But then at the same time, it's like, it's just kind of powerful because, you know, a lot of my friends have been hurt by negative reactions from fans about me too, because they know me to be different, or like, you know, they love me in a different way. So it's just really sweet to get that response from my friends, especially them being like, wow, this is powerful. People are getting to see you like how I see you, you know, who you really are and stuff. So it's interesting because, you know, we don't really analyze ourselves. We're so used to analyzing other people. So it's been cool to, like, see how people are analyzing me in a different way and just seeing me for who I am, you know, versus a character, which is cool.
Yeah, definitely. Nice.
A lot of the show is us out of drag, too. So I think that, you know, I know that's the case in Drag Race as well, but the focus is very much on the character. And this show is like, it's definitely about the character, but it's also just about us as people and how we've navigated from being in a small town to a bigger city and a bigger lifestyle, and coming back and kind of mentoring or life coaching these other queer people or allies in how we navigated through those things. And we're using our experiences and what we've been through to be able to kind of life coach these people into loving themselves or navigating through an issue they're going through, you know?
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, it's amazing. So we're here. I really don't understand the law regarding all the timing in America, but we have a lot of people listening from United States. So we're here. It's on HBO at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 8 p.m. Central. I think it's correct to say that like that. And also at 11:15, yeah, 11:15 p.m. on HBO Latino. These bitches have it twice and we don't.
I know, what's that about?
So every Thursday, available on demand on the Friday, of course, only United States. So Sky Atlantic, please give HBO a call. Thank you.
Come on, Sky Atlantic.
Do it. Call. Use Zoom.
Eugenio, so imagine us on a show like that. You know what I mean? Because we know me and Eugenio, we're really good friends. You know, like Eugenio's my best friend, and like when you say that your friends were texting you saying, "Oh, we're seeing this really amazing, you know, this we're seeing the true you." So, I'm from the north, and we're renowned for hiding feelings and not really showing it, and the amount of battles that we've had with Eugenio.
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm an angel. No, no.
You're the one who cries at everything, and I'm just like,
oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, I cry easily. I cry. So, Yuriga, thank you for the time that you have spent with us. Just really last request, because we want to make sure that your voice is on rotation on Glitterbeam. So if you can leave a message for all the Glitterbeam listeners, so we can actually play it on rotation on the station.
Big and bold.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, what I would want to say, I mean, kind of the same thing I say a lot. It's really just like, hi, all of you all. It's Ricky here from LA. I'm quarantining, and I'm just really sending you all love during this time right now. It's really hard to navigate our own minds. I think that as humans, we're not really used to being alone and forced to be pushed to isolation. So just try to stay strong and positive. Try to find things that make you happy. Get creative. Like, don't be afraid to explore some of the emotions that you have while you're alone, because if you push it back further, it may just make the time harder for you. But also just, you know, look in the mirror. Every day I do at least 3 affirmations about myself, just telling myself that I'm perfect, I'm beautiful, I look like Linda Evangelista, I'm a model, I stone those types. I could walk out there in a diaper, and I did, and they would eat it up.
And you did, and you did, and you did. You not only just walked into the diaper, you were all over the floor. I remember that. Yes. Yes. Eureka, yes, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
Okay. Yeah, pleasure's all mine. Work.
Work, work.
Hi, everybody. It's Rico here, and you're listening to Glitter Beam Radio.
Double champ for the win. Coming in like a heart. Where do I begin? Guess that is the word. Big bitch, slaying the game. Sitting better, bitch, half my fame. Crybaby, you jelly boo. Peanut butter haters, I'll eat you too. P-H-A-T, pretty hot and tasty. Come through for the big girl, big boned and sexy fit girl. Still catching dick girl, watch me spin dip and kick girl. Thick thighs make your dick rise, big gut make it nice. Oh, hey. Come through for the big girl, come on, come through for the big girl. To do.